Hey, everybody, welcome in to episode number 12 of the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Happy pitchers and catchers report day today, as the backstops and the arms will begin to report to Sarasota today. And it is an exciting day around Major League Baseball, and especially for the Orioles, as it marks the official beginning of the 2020 season with spring training starting today. So obviously the Major League guys are going down to Sarasota today, but for this episode, mostly we will continue our minor league talk from yesterday. Remember, if you didn't catch yesterday, Monday's Minor League Monday episode, we had Will DeBoer on, the play-by-play voice of the Delmarva Shorebirds. And with Will, we talked about that Delmarva pitching staff from last year that really set all those strikeout records. You know, it was led by Grayson Rodriguez, the Orioles' top pitching prospect, but it had four other guys in that starting rotation who all went over 100 strikeouts last year and were fantastic. So we talked about those guys yesterday in part one of our conversation, but today will be part two of our Shorebirds conversation here, as Will tell us about the hitters who shined in Delmarva last season, and also go into a bit about Adley Rutschman. The Shorebirds had Rutschman for the final 12 games of the season, or of his season last year, and he'll just talk about the fanfare around the Orioles' number one overall pick as well. So without further ado, here is part two of our Delmarva Shorebirds conversation with their play-by-play voice, Will DeBoer. And that's the hope, obviously, as they continue to churn out guys. And it's kind of a two-way street, because one, you want to keep getting guys, you know, developed into major league starting pitchers. And then when you start to have success at the major league level again, you want to keep that minor league system populated with good arms that potentially become trade pieces or depth pieces, and you can continue to improve. And it seems to be working pretty well for the Orioles, at least in the early stages. But I want to flip over to the hitting side for Delmarva last year. And obviously, you know, you guys won 90 games and the pitching staff was tremendous, but still had to hit the ball. And you had some guys who did just that. And I want to start with that middle infield last year, Adam Hall and Caden Grenier, two guys ranked in the Orioles top 30 prospects on MLB.com. And they seemed like a pretty good combination of offense and defense to have in Delmarva last year.
Oh, they did. Good luck getting the ball through the middle of the infield with those two on the same diamond. That was fun to see their camaraderie between each other during the season. I'll start with Grenier. I mean, we already knew that the glove was there. He was a top defender when he was at Oregon State, and it showed in his rookie season with us in 2018. The bat started to come along as well. He would come up in clutch situations, ended up with seven home runs in 82 games, a few of them in our ballpark, which Arthur W. Purdue Stadium is amongst the hitter unfriendliest ballparks in the South Atlantic League. So to get it out of there, you really, really need to connect. But Caden left us middle of July for a promotion, and he'd certainly earned it by that point, and his offensive numbers were coming up. Adam Hall, of course, just 20 years old and playing in his first full season. He was one hit shy of finishing 300 for the year, 298 average, 780 OPS, a lot of speed. He would really bust it out of the box, stole 33 bases. He could find the gap every now and then, and just a consistent, business-like, no-nonsense player who was going to go out there, do his job, and do it well for you on a daily basis.
And those were the two guys, obviously, that spent, you know, a solid amount of time with Delmarva, who are in that top 30 prospects as far as the hitters go. And that seems to be maybe the one part of the Orioles system right now that isn't highly populated. It is the infielders, especially on that left side. And those two guys who, you know, played up the middle but can both play shortstop, did it look like they had the tools to maybe in a couple of years be that Orioles shortstop? Because there's not really that guy at short or third really in the system besides Hall and Grenier right now.
I think that they've certainly got the potential to do that. I mean, Grenier's glove is pretty much major league ready at this point. If he can just get the bat together more consistently, then he'll certainly improve his marks. Hall's bat is already there. And he was only 20 years old, so he'll get stronger as he progresses through the system the next couple of years. And don't sleep on Mason McCoy, who was a shorebird back in 2018. He made it up to Bowie last season. Another hard-nosed guy, another come to the ballpark every day and just slavishly devote yourself to the craft. I think he's going to the major league camp for spring training, and he's another guy who a sixth rounder back in 2017 who may not be getting all the headlines, but he's going to be your lunch pail middle infielder that I'm sure Oriole fans absolutely adore.
Yeah, and speaking of guys not getting the headlines, you know, just said Hall and Grenier are the top 30 guys that the fans have kind of been following because they were the higher picks. But among the hitters last year, you know, besides those guys, who spent some solid time with Delmarva really stood out and was kind of under the radar last season?
Well, I can think of a couple corner outfielders, right fielders to be exact. Robert Nystrom, who began the season with us, fifth rounder out of Iowa from 2018, finished with an 817 OPS, and he missed some time with us due to a lower body injury in May. But ended up with five home runs, 36 RBIs, and that 817 OPS, which if you have an 800 OPS in this league, that's doing pretty good because it's a really depressed offensive numbers in the South Atlantic League. Nystrom can hit the ball incredibly hard. I saw him hit a couple of home runs that cleared scoreboards at various ballparks in our league. Then when he got promoted, the guy who replaced him in right field pretty much picked up where he left off, Johnny Reiser. Seventh or ninth rounder, I believe, from TCU this past draft, came in, just immediately started hitting the ball hard, finding the gaps, ended up 310 average, 761 OPS, extra base machine, and you had a feeling whenever he would step up to the plate that he was going to hit the ball hard and find the gap wherever it was. So those two guys especially, I think, could make it to the major leagues and be impact bats for the Orioles. And then, yeah, you got your fan favorites. Robbie Thorburn was a favorite of mine. He was on the team for about a month and a half before promotion to Frederick. Just, you know, plays the game hard and enjoys it and knows that it's all about the fans and stuff like that. So it's, you know, maybe it's a long shot for him to get to the show, but it's certainly fun to watch him go out and play the way he did last year.
And obviously you need those guys in the minor leagues, but you talked about Johnny Reiser, and he gets drafted in 2019, just goes to Aberdeen and nobody could get him out basically. So there was almost no choice to keep moving him up to Delmarva, and no pun intended, but already a fast riser in the Orioles system. But before I let you go, Will, you know, I feel like I'm almost obligated to ask you about one more guy. He was only there for 12 games, but what was the fanfare like around Adley Rutschman when he came up right at the end of the season last year?
Well, for us in Class A, it was a sneak peek as to what happens at the major leagues every single day in terms of media attention and things we had to organize. So that was pretty fun and a nice little dry run for us, you know, minor league staffers, front office types trying to get to the majors the same way that everybody else is. But Adley, you know, he had a great head on his shoulders. He went out there and handled the press. We, you know, tried to handle it, help him handle it the best we could. And, you know, maybe the raw numbers, if you look at his baseball reference page for Delmarva, don't stand out. But he was only there for 12 games. And, you know, this was his third level of his first professional summer. And this is coming off of a spring in Oregon State. And I mean, when he hit the ball hard, he really hit the ball hard. And the couple of home runs that he hit were moonshots for Delmarva. And the arm, my goodness, there were a couple of times when he caught a guy stealing where it was as if it was a cannon firing to second base. And these were some guys who were pretty fast, who had a lot of stolen bases that he was able to get out and get out with ease. And it wasn't even close. I mean, elite prospect, that's really all you can say. And I think Oriole fans are going to be, you know, salivating at the idea of him getting to Camden Yards in a couple of years. And we're certainly glad to have had him, even for if it was just for 2 weeks in Delmarva. I mean, that's sort of something that people are going to be talking about around here forever.
And obviously it looks like Adley will probably move up again next season, but and some of those arms probably will as well. But Will, I'll give you a chance here to give your pitch for the Shorebirds. What can fans look forward to in Delmarva in 2020 to get out to the ballpark this year?
Well, I think you can look forward to more great pitching. I mean, you look at the arms in Aberdeen in the Gulf Coast League that absolutely manhandled their leagues. I think Aberdeen's ERA was 2.38 as a team, and that was far and away the best in all of minor league baseball, and only the Gulf Coast Orioles came close. So if you like pitchers' duels, if you like the strikeouts, then that's what we're going to have on the field, at least, at Purdue Stadium in 2020. And of course, we got our promotion stuff to theshorebirds.com or MILB.com/Delmarva. We've got promotional affairs. It's our 25th season, so we're looking back on some of our history. We've been an Orioles affiliate for all but one season, but it's going to be a fun summer and more elite talent passing through Salisbury, Maryland, and while 90 wins might be a little asking for a lot to do 90 again, I think an 80-win season is certainly in the realm of possibility, and they're going to be contending for a postseason appearance and their first Sally League title in 20 years. I think happy days are here again on the eastern shore of Maryland.
Well, Will, thanks so much for joining us to talk about the Shorebirds today, and hopefully we can have you on again at some point during the summer when some of those elite prospects start rolling through Delmarva again.
My pleasure, Connor. Thanks for having me.
So again, that was Will DeBoer, the play-by-play voice of the Delmarva Shorebirds, who had a 90-win season last year and set a bunch of records, including all those strikeouts from the rotation. And of course, we talked about those hitters as well, especially in part two. Johnny Reiser, I think an exciting guy who's moving up the system. And Adam Hall and Caden Grenier, those two guys in the middle infield, they really had great seasons. And J.C. Encarnacion, who was also on that team, actually got into the top 30 recently. Now the Orioles' number 30 prospect on MLB.com. And there's some guys on that team who probably won't be with Delmarva in 2020, but a lot of exciting prospects there. So, you know, an exciting day here for the Orioles. Pitchers and catchers, again, reporting today to Sarasota, Florida. And a big week for baseball as spring training begins to kick off. Now, one more thing, a little bit of Orioles news. The baseball prospectus, Pecota projections came out on Tuesday. They use a lot of numbers, and a lot of them a little bit over my head, but a lot of them have to do with depth chart projections and what guys have done in the past, what they're projected to do in the future. And they put all together somewhat of a rough projection for what the win totals will be for every major league team. And this year, the projections fairly high on the wins for a lot of teams. Now, for the Orioles, they have them finishing last in the division. I don't think anyone would be surprised if that happened. But they do have the Orioles winning 63 games. The final projection had Baltimore going 63-99 in 2020, which, for one thing, you avoid 100 losses. For another thing, you win your most games in a couple years. I mean, the Vegas over-under is set at 55.5 wins. So obviously 63 would be a great number for the Orioles, but I think the most intriguing and important thing on these projections, they have the Orioles going 63-99, which for the last couple years would put them around the number 3 or 4 pick in the next draft. That still would be, according to these projections, the worst record in Major League Baseball by a little bit of a margin. They have the next worst finisher as the Seattle Mariners with 66 wins at 66-96. And then the Royals with 68 wins, and the Tigers with 69 wins. Also in the NL, they've got San Francisco with 68, the Pirates with 70, and the Marlins with 71 in the win total. And really anyone else close, the Texas Rangers, they have getting 73 wins on the season. They've got the Yankees, Twins, and Astros projected as the playoff teams in the AL, at least as far as the division winners go, and they would have the Rays and the Angels meeting in the wild card game. And then in the NL, they've got the Mets winning the NL East, which I have to see it to believe it. The Reds winning the Central, which I think is definitely possible,
and the Dodgers winning 102 games and cruising through the NL West with no one else in that division finishing with a winning record. So they would have the Mets, Reds, and Dodgers as the division winners, and the wild card game would be played in DC between the Cubs and the Nationals. So that would be the 10 teams in the playoffs according to these projections. But the other news in baseball yesterday of Rob Manfred maybe thinking about expanding the playoffs from 5 to 7 teams. The top team would get a bye, and the other 6 would play 3 different series in each league, and then the top team would get to pick from those winners which team they got to play in, I guess, what would become then the divisional round. And I know it seems crazy, but you work out, you know, some of the kinks in that, and all of a sudden, not a terrible idea. I don't think playoff expansion is the worst idea. You think about the NBA and the NHL each take 16 out of the 30 and 31 teams. That's more than half. The NFL takes 12 out of 32. I think if baseball went to 6 in each league and got 12 out of 30, I think that'd be a good number, because you get some good teams left out of the playoffs, and I think more playoff games is a good thing. And you know, they still don't play a lot of off days in the Major League Baseball playoffs, so it's not like it would run crazy long like the NBA playoffs, which seem to go for about 4 months at the end of the season. But that's on the top half of things. The Orioles, again, are on the bottom half of things in these projections. Still projected to finish dead last in baseball, 63-99, get the number one overall pick in 2021, and if they got that, look out for Kumar Rocker, the star right-hander in the Vanderbilt Commodores rotation. He was a freshman sensation in 2019 with the national champions. And Rocker threw a no-hitter in the NCAA tournament against Duke to help eliminate the Blue Devils and advance his team. And he had 19 strikeouts in of the 27 outs in that no-hitter. Kumar Rocker's the real deal, projects to probably be the number one pick in 2021. That'd be a great little piece to add. And then the Orioles can start, you know, trying to pull some wins together 2021, 2022, and start getting back towards that playoff picture, which by the time the Orioles get back into the playoff picture, could be expanded to 6 or 7 teams in each league, making it even a little easier for a team like Baltimore to slide back in there as they go through this rebuild. Remember, if you like what you hear here on the pod, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on really wherever you listen to your podcasts, and make sure to leave us a rating and a review if you can. It really helps a lot. Later in the week, we've got a couple more exciting episodes. On tomorrow's show, we will continue our player previews with the new Oriole shortstop, Jose Iglesias. We'll be joined by Jeff Carr from Locked On Reds. He's the host of that podcast to talk about Iglesias, who, of course, spent all of 2019 in Cincinnati. And then later in the week, we'll have AJ Andrews on. She is the host of the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. And she'll come on to continue our player preview series, which with Richard Urania, the young shortstop who the Orioles claimed off of waivers. Of course, we've seen him in Toronto for the past couple years, and he'll be vying for a spot with the Orioles in spring training, which again starts today with pitchers and catchers reporting. This has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.